Android and iPhone users, welcome. BlackBerry and Windows Phone users, these phones don't even support podcasting, bro. The podcast going beyond the headlines. This is the Gooply Cast. Here's your host, Matthew Carter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Gooply Cast. We're live right now on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. And if you can't make our live show, grab our audio-only version. You can find it on all your favorite Android and iOS podcast apps, as well as Facebook podcasts. We're here tonight with Matt Evans. Hey, Matt.
Hello. Fresh back from the metaverse.
Heck yeah. Fresh. You went on a journey, that's for sure. Definitely check that out. Also joining us tonight is Roy Schlepinski. Hey, Roy.
Good evening.
Also, Tim Van Claveren. Welcome, Tim.
Hello.
And directing the show tonight is Joseph Meacham. Hey, Joseph.
What's up, gamers?
What's up, gamer? Yeah. Executive gamer, we call you.
Yeah, I can't believe Matt Carter dropped that term. It's pretty cringe.
He hasn't given anybody intros for like the last three or four weeks.
Yeah, he hasn't. He hasn't.
Kind of whack, Carter. Kind of whack.
Yeah.
I feel like he's probably like cooking up something really good for us.
Maybe he hates us all.
Up something good for us.
He's like, maybe if I stop doing this, they'll take the hosting duties away from me and I can just be a regular old person that just sits here and chats with everybody.
No, we love you, Matt Carter. You're great.
I just want to talk. But good. I'm glad you guys enjoy them and you're missing them. That's good to know. But tonight we're discussing something. I mean, I feel like it's non-existent, but I guess it depends on your perspective. We're discussing Android privacy.
Oh, hold on. Android privacy in quotes.
Oh, we need the quotes, 100%
yes. quotes.
So this will also be known as our shortest podcast ever because there's not much to talk about.
There right. is none. Move on.
And we're also going to be talking about Google Flex, which I am very curious to talk about.
Do you flex the Google?
Well, you remember that iPhone that like bent? The new Pixel are going to be really...
iPhone 6.
Should I go get my Pixel right now and flex it and see if it bends?
I'm sure.
That'll make me cry.
It'll make great.
Well, actually, Rory's got it right there. Let's try and flex yours.
I think not, Matt.
Okay.
It's the right number. It's the Pixel 6.
It is.
All right. So Android privacy. I mean, what? Privacy is incredibly important, especially with people working from home, using their phones for business, using their phones to basically do everything since we can't go anywhere to talk and video chat. What's been going on in the Android privacy world as of late?
Well, so Google announced that they are going to start limiting ad tracking inside of privacy from, you know, Amazon devices and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's what was announced. Like Roy said, it's going to be the shortest podcast ever.
Obviously they're feeling pressure because Apple introduced a similar system, you know, a few months back, quite a few months back actually. And it's such an impact to the ad world that I think Facebook said they were going to lose, what was it, $10 billion or something like that? Was it million or billion?
10 million.
I mean, that, huge amount of profit loss due to Apple doing this. I think the most interesting thing about Google thinking about taking the stance with Android and into Android 13 is that Google's main revenue source is ads. And we know that they collect data not just from the phones, but if you use Chrome anywhere, whether it be on the computer, your iPhone or your tablet or whatever, they're collecting data from you. If you're using Chrome OS, they're collecting data from you. If you use Gmail, they're collecting data. YouTube, they're collecting data. I mean, anything that Google has its hands into, they're collecting data from. Even if they limited themselves from collecting data off of Android users, while they're using their phones. There's still so many different facets for them to get data collection. But if you look at places like Facebook and Twitter and whatnot, their main usage of your users comes from their mobile phone, not from desktop usage. At least in my own experience, I know more people who will access those platforms on their phone than their desktop. So by limiting their ad tracking on Android phones, they're greatly hurting their competition for ad revenue. And I think that they're going to get hit with antitrust so fast.
They're already being sued for tracking users by multiple.
This is a completely different thing. You're going to have Facebook, Twitter, and everybody come at them.
It is. And so a couple things to point out here. So it isn't going to be a one switch thing that you turn it on or turn it off. It's a multi-year process. So it's not going to roll out, you know, tomorrow. It's not going to roll out next year. It's going to roll out phases over years, is what they've said. And they basically said it's just going to limit the ad tracking, like the advertising ID and stuff like that, and the unique identifiers that you're going to be able to do. So, and I think they're going to integrate more of an API type of thing where you have to ask the user to track them, similar to what, you know, iOS does, you know. But again, I don't know, their blog post actually wasn't that long, you know, so we don't really know how it's going to all integrate into Android and, you know, integrate into apps and stuff like that. But I mean,
that is true. We were all talking about this
when we had the Gooply cast on the privacy changes made on iOS, and we were talking about this, and I think one of us brought it up, like, what is Google gonna do now? Well, here's Google's response to that. They're obviously caving in and doing that, because like Roy said, you know, there's a lot of anti lawsuits out there and stuff like that now, and people are taking privacy much more important these days, and I think it's just, you know, it's the time that Google has to step up and say, hey, we want to be transparent or somewhat transparent on it, you know, because
people being able to stop them from tracking them on it.
Yeah. So we don't know. Like I found the blog article. If you saw the blog article from Google about it, I mean, it's very limited at what they said. You know, they don't go into a lot of it. You know, they're calling it a privacy sandbox, which sandbox usually means it's like a test. So if it doesn't work out, are you going to take it away? Like, you know,
like you guys are saying, Google is an advertising company. And if they do something that obviously damages the advertising market in their favor, then they'll definitely get sued. So where Apple was like wholesale taking back control or giving control to the users to determine what kind of tracking and advertisements and like under the hood tracking that they wanted, Google probably can't. Do you guys feel like Google can go that far?
Like, I don't think they can go that far. I think that it'll maybe maybe what they'll do is, instead of blocking the tracking altogether, it'll just become anonymous tracking.
Or they'll find another way to track us without saying.
We're talking about what access other people would have to tracking inside of Android, not Google specifically.
Got it.
Because I don't think that Google can go as hardcore as Apple went without their competitors saying, hey, you know, we think that you are intentionally hurting your competition, which could very potentially hold up in court. I think that they're going to have to find some loophole where they can protect their users' specific identity in tracking and not completely limit their competitors in a way that will hold up in court so easily. I don't know what that middle ground is. I couldn't even begin to understand ad tracking and app tracking and identifiers enough to know what that middle ground could be. But there is somebody at Google, I'm sure, that has raised their hand and be like, hey, we need to think about X, Y, and Z, or we're going to get slapped on the wrist so hard.
Right, right. And for all intents and purposes, Apple doesn't really, Apple tracks nowhere near the amount of information that Google does behind the scenes. Google has way more reach across the internet with Google and, like you said, Chrome, and forcing third-party cell phone makers to have Google Play services so that they can track what is done with Android anywhere in the world. Apple doesn't do nearly that kind of business. So they can be a little bit more aggressive with their advertising removal.
And I was just going to say that Google has said that, you know, the article that I read in The Verge, with the details were unclear about, you know, what exactly the form will take place. But Google says that it's going to work with developers to try and figure out the best approach timeline, I guess, to focus on that and how to do that, which is interesting too, because I don't know that a lot of developers are going to be, you know, Mark Zuckerberg was probably in his office reading the article and was like, God damn it, you know, or something, you know,
Facebook even exist?
Yeah. Like, you know, look, but this day and age, like, you have to say no to advertising sometimes, you know, and you have to figure out another way to reach your users, you know? And like I said, it'll be interesting to see how Google does this, you know, and how developers, such as Facebook and, you know, other, you know, social media companies, approach this, you know. But, I think it, you know, Apple did it first, and it maybe become the new norm where, you know, privacy is important, which it should be. Like, it absolutely should be. It should be the utmost important on it. So, like I said, the details are sketchy, but I'm glad to see that Google is somewhat thinking about it, and I hope that they are really taking a dead approach to it and really thinking through the process on it, because privacy is, you know, is our lives these days. So
absolutely. And with the like regulatory environment, what it is right now, where the United States, every major government is going after the big tech companies for privacy or antitrust or crazy giant mergers that consolidate power. Google's probably looking at what Apple is doing, and Apple defied the United States government and said, no, we will not give you access to this phone. Like, Apple is 100% leading the conversation on privacy, and Google definitely has, I feel like, a lot to make up for in terms of privacy, since they just track so much of our information.
Yeah. Like I said, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, and if it extends later on to different platforms such as Chromebooks. You know, I think mostly they're talking about mobile devices such as tablets and iPhones, but you know, Google tracks us in other ways, you know, so we'll see how it changes there.
Speaking of tracking us in other ways, how do you guys feel about Chrome OS Flex? The cloud first Chrome OS.
I don't know about it. Tim, did you not do your research?
No, I forgot.
Did you do your research?
Someone fire that man.
I'm going to take my other MacBook that I have that is no longer supported by Apple. And my kids are mainly the ones that use it, and it's just going to be a Chrome Flex OS.
Okay, so I'm on the Chrome Flex, the Chrome OS Flex page right now. I'll read the blurb about what they say. It says, Chrome OS Flex is free, something that you have access to since Google presumably gives all their stuff away for free to track you. try the cloud first, fast, easy to manage and secure Chrome OS for PCs and Macs. Chrome OS Flex is a free and sustainable way to modernize devices you already own. It's easy to deploy across your fleet, or simply try it to see what a cloud-first OS has to offer. So as a user of Chromebooks, this is exciting for me.
I mean, all it really is when you think about it is a remote desktop. And we've all used Citrix, and we all know how beautifully that works.
So
I'm just saying. Now, granted, Chrome OS is going to be more lightweight and not as resource dependent as something like Citrix and other remote desktops will be. But I mean, being a cloud OS is virtually just saying it's a remote desktop, right?
Well, also, Citrix sucks, like really badly. Like it is absolute garbage.
It's better than what they had. I will say that.
So a couple things on this. Roy's right. I think it's more of an OS type cloud OS based device. I have not tried it. I would be interested to see how it works on your MacBook, Roy.
I will let you know.
I don't have any interest in Chrome OS. I think it's a useless operating system. I probably great for kids, and it's great for school kids who are in school because they can do all of that. But I like to download more complex apps, you know, and stuff like that. And I just couldn't see using it. But it is nice to know that there's, you know, something out there that you can use on older devices, you know, that are somewhat no longer exported, and you know, you can run those on there. Can you run Android apps on there?
As long as it's what Chrome OS is using right now, Chrome OS does have Android app compatibility. That was something they added within the last couple of years.
Interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it works, you know, and how, Windows Microsoft is developing a cloud version of Windows. It will be interested to see how that plays out in time. So,
I'm looking through the instructions, and so you're supposed to download, create a bootable Chrome OS Flex USB drive, and it says that you install Chrome OS Flex on your PC or Mac to replace your operating system.
It sounds like it's an OS. I don't think it's a cloud based. I don't think it's a cloud based. I think it's
cloud based. So I mean, is it cloud based and it's operating somewhere on a server in Google? In which case, it's really just a remote desktop. Or are you installing an OS on your computer?
Is it hybrid?
It sounds like you're installing like Chrome OS or some kind of like Mac or PC variant of it. And because Chrome is engineered to like work natively with Google Docs and Google Drive and stuff, that sounds like the cloud aspect that they're pushing versus like just like a remote desktop or virtual desktop kind of thing.
I'm wondering if the apps are stored in the cloud. You're just downloading the client that then reaches the cloud, and then so you have to have like internet access to run those.
Possibly, because so you know how you use Chrome and you can like add extensions and stuff. I think that's how they're kind of running Chrome OS, where you can extend its functionality with like the Chrome App Store, which is also where you would get Android apps. I'm trying to look to see if that's what they're saying is what they're trying to do.
I'm reading a little bit about because it's using Chrome Enterprise, which I'm just learning as a product right now, to where you can install this on a bunch of workstations and then have those computers log into a Citrix environment or VMware environment. Part of like at my work, what we'd have is we have what's called Wise terminals, which are from Dell, and they're basically just like dummy computers that they're all in ones, and they just run a version. They run Wise, but it's basically Windows, but it's very dumbed down. you log into it, and then it creates a virtual Windows environment. I think it's running off the computer itself. I don't know for sure. But, I mean, for a production environment, sure, I could see that being useful. But I don't know about... I don't know who pays for Chrome Enterprise and how much does it cost?
So Chrome OS does require... And it, go ahead, bro. Like when he, so a guy puts it on his Surface Book, and after it installs, it makes him shut it down. And then when he starts it back up, it boots into Chrome. So it does replace your OS.
Yeah.
You could.
That's what I was just going to say.
I wonder if you could use Bootcamp on Mac to create.
You probably do use Bootcamp on Mac. Because that's, again, I think that would be the only way to do it on a Mac.
Bootcamp was only for Windows. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, I just watched, here's one where a guy does it on an old Mac and he reboots the Mac. Oh, wait, no. He starts it up and it shows two different drives he could choose from. After he boots it up, he could go to the Macintosh HD or he can go into a USB. Well, maybe he just installed it on a USB flash driver, something like that.
Oh man,
I would be, if it replaced my OS, I would be hesitant to do that if I didn't have access to my old OS, if I for some reason wanted to.
So you guys remember when like Windows 11 came out and it was surprising the way that it kind of worked on older computers? Like it wasn't a super heavyweight operating system. It actually gave some use to like older computers. I feel like
tear to your eye.
It was nice. I feel like Chrome OS would hopefully be even more lightweight than anything but Linux, I guess, but still have like built-in applications, hopefully an easier install experience. But I'm looking at the list of available models that it'll work with, like HP and Dell, and it looks like they've done some testing, but it's hard to tell how far it goes back. So there's a website that you can go to see if it's been tested with whatever computer. In my case, I have like a bunch of laptops that I'm curious to try this on. Some have been verified to work with Chrome OS Flex. Some have major issues expected. Some have minor issues expected. So it seems like they have a decent amount of testing going on here. But Chrome isn't for, especially since it's like early access right now and seems like it's going to be buggy because all early Google products are buggy. This isn't ever something that's going to be for like high productivity.
It also says here, Google Chrome uses the same OS and layout as Chrome OS and has the same code base. The only exception is that it doesn't have access to the Play Store and a few other system level limitations compared to the Google native products running on Chrome OS.
So it sounds perfect for educational purposes.
Yeah, but I think, again, I would check first before and see if you can run, because if you can't run, if all you can do is open up Chrome, you know, use Gmail and Calendar and Docs, like if you can't download or use any of the other apps, I don't know if it's really worth it, you know. But yeah, here's somebody who installed it on their MacBook Air.
If I dare install it on my Mac Mini.
Oh my god. Has Chrome OS ever been so powerful?
I have this Mac Mini. It's got an i5 clocked at 2.3 gigahertz with 8 gigs of RAM and an SSD. I wonder how fast Chrome OS would run on it.
Yeah. Well, like
it
I said,
load
it looks like it's
before you even thought of it.
Yeah. It says that it's early access, so hopefully there'll be more details as it comes out. Yeah, I just can't see using it though on a I don't know. I just can't see using it without the Play Store. Like,
what if I don't it know.
I don't know. I've never really honestly played around with a Chromebook since they redid the, like I told you the story about how I got one of the first Chrome OS systems, and that was back in the day. It has so much changed since then. Mm-hmm. But I haven't used Chrome in a long time. So I would be interested to see how it actually plays out and runs mm-hmm. on a system. So but I just don't. I'm not going to drop $300 to buy a Chromebook to play around with it. And I actually don't have a old computer lying around that I don't use. Otherwise, I would probably try to install it. So, Roy, if you want to bring the old MacBook Air over, we can
try installing it. Kids use that all the time, which is why I would consider putting the Chrome Flex, the Google Flex on it, just because that's what they use at school. Like the elementary school that my kids go to have a huge technology grant. Like literally it is a 1-to-1 ratio for Chromebooks. Every student in that school has a Chromebook in their classroom for them. And when we all went remote, it was just that easy. You went down to the school and they handed you a Chromebook and a charger and you were good to go. And they had the availability to that because of the huge technology grant. So my kids use Chrome OS at school almost every day. It's familiar to them. Not that they don't use, Mac OS, because they do, because they use the MacBook at home. But I feel that if they used the Flex, then it might be, easier for them all around.
And this
no, they need to use stuff other than Chrome. Chrome's not a good OS.
Does this speak to Google's like confidence in the Chrome platform? Because it was just Chromebooks before, but now they're kind of opening up. I don't know if you'd call it an ecosystem. Well,
and I'm wondering if this has anything to do with the Microsoft, Windows Cloud that they're launching too. Because Windows and Microsoft is launching a cloud version of Windows, which you would essentially use like remote desktop, and you could log into a Windows. I think it's only available to business users right now, but I would guess that that's probably somewhat what they're trying to do too, is to streamline it,
We used that at the chiropractor for a little bit. I was testing it out as a viable option. It didn't really work as well as I was hoping, so we canceled it.
Is it like a VMware type thing, or how is it?
So you basically, it's similar to VMware. So it's like, let's say you want one computer, you can pick the specs of it. So 8 gigs of RAM, 200 gig hard drive. You can choose how many cores you want, and then I think it's expensive. It's like $40 to $50 a month per virtual machine, but you can have as many users log into that as you want, and you can pretty much access it from any web browser as long as it's I believe it's got to be I think it's any web browser you can log into the PC. So I've seen videos of people log into Windows 11 on a Xbox, because the Xbox has the Edge browser that's got Chromium built into it, so you can literally do anything. If you can do it on Edge or on Chrome on your computer, you can do it on Xbox now. Which is kind of funny, because Discord works now on Xbox when you do it that way. it's pretty good. I canceled it because I wasn't able to get our VPN. Or some stupid... I wasn't able to get on the domain or something like that, but...
Hmm. So it sounds like Microsoft is not only not there yet, but at least like making, steps into that world.
Yeah, I think virtualization is becoming the future. Like, if it worked exactly how I was hoping it to, then I would have probably just continued paying for those and... instead of having to deploy all these desktops and keep them all on site, plugged in 24/7, and have them wear out over the course of the next 3 years.
Mm.
And cost.
So you're saying, if I understand you correctly, you're saying like you can customize what kind of PC that any user who logs into the service will have when they're using it?
Yeah. It only allows you to use one computer at a time unless you pay for multiple different virtual machines. So let's say mm-hmm. you're an enterprise business and you want 10 of these virtual machines available. You have to pay $50 for 10 of them. So I'm terrible at math. I'm not going to attempt to do that. But you will have to pay for that. But let's say you only have one virtual machine and only one person can work on it at a time, but you have as many people can log into it as they need to.
Okay.
I think it has new accounts, so every time like someone logs out, someone else logs in, all of their documents show up and all of their information is available.
It's interesting because streaming, like that's essentially like streaming, but for your OS. And we have streaming in video. We're getting streaming in games, which is probably some of the highest bandwidth requirement that you could need for streaming anything. And then if Google or Microsoft can make streaming work, because is that something that Apple will ever do? Will they ever do a streaming operating system? Is that even like,
well, you can rent a Mac Mini in the cloud. Amazon deploys Mac Minis in the cloud. I think it's like 12 or 15 cents per minute, something like that, that it's running. And then there's another one. I think it's called, I want to say it's Mac Stadium. Yeah, Mac Stadium. And you can rent a MacBook there. It is, what's the pricing options? Starting at $132 a month.
Yikes.
You can rent I guess it, you know, you spec it out how you want. And like I said, they're all Mac Minis, I think. And you can decide what operating system. You can run Windows on it. I'm assuming if you have an Intel one, and it's dedicated Mac hardware. And I think it's just in like a warehouse, you know, and stuff like that. They're all connected. So,
it's a hundred and how much a month?
$132 a month. It says so starting.
If you're renting a Mac Mini at 100 and something a month, after like what, 5-6 months, you can buy your own Mac Mini. Why?
I was just going to say that. I mean, a Mac Mini, $6,799. Like, I mean, that seems kind of expensive.
You don't have to maintain it or pay the electricity
on it. Okay, it so after 8 months, after 8 months, you spent more than what you would spend in a year on a Mac.
You can pay, and you can pay annually for starting at $119 a month. I'll tell you, I tried the Mac Stadium a long time ago because I just wanted to try it out. And so I did try it out. This was back when they just had Intel ones. I don't think it was that expensive, but yeah, it, interesting that it's so expensive for it.
Speaking of virtual cloud, have you guys heard of Samsung Remote Test Lab?
No.
So I saw this on TikTok, but if you go onto Samsung's developer site, they have a data center full of different Samsung smartphones and tablets, and you can log in and remote into one of them to run your application on and your app on. So right now on my computer, I'm remoted into a phone that's
what's the website called?
If you just Google search Samsung Remote Test Lab, you can sign in with a Google account or create an account, and you can actually remote excuse me, remote into this. I'm trying to get it to work, though.
Not really working. So what you're telling me is I could finally use a Galaxy Z Fold 3?
Yes. It's actually kind of funny. You only get a half hour slot to be able to remote into this phone and use it for whatever you want to. But you
can't. Oh yeah, here there's 14 Z Galaxy Z. Oh, Z, you wanted the Z Fold 3?
Yeah. There's, I mean, I'll 18, take.
There's 18 of those available. There's 14 Z Flip 3s.
Also, another thing, I'm doing this right now so I can validate if this is true. But someone said you can, if you go to the camera and you turn on the flash and you take a photo, you can see their how it, you can see the phones next to each other in this like server cabinet.
That's awesome.
So I'm right now, I'm gonna, oh my gosh, there's what people have taken other photos on this.
Can you see the gallery?
Yeah, I see the server cabinet.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh my god. Screen? Hold on.
So it's not like a virtual.
Oh, you can reserve. Yeah, you can reserve for up to 2 hours.
Look at all this. There's like.
Oh no.
This is the front camera. So that's another phone. But I can, or what?
Which phone is the first phone?
So I'm in the camera right now. Let me flip the camera around, and I'm going to take a picture with the flash on.
This is fantastic. What is that, a wall?
And I have no idea what that is. But I can go, yeah, it's a full Android. It's a phone in a data locked in a cabinet somewhere. Oh, that's like personal number. People are trying. Someone texted 911. What the hell?
Oh my gosh!
I feel like there's some bad juju that could happen there. If you're not, delete your old messages, guys. Come on.
Yeah, they should have an automatic delete.
It should like flash. I'm surprised they haven't done that because. Doesn't Verizon do that crap?
Oh, here I got into a Galaxy Fold. Yeah. Look at this. I'm in a Galaxy Fold. God, this is interesting. How do I get into the app drawer on here?
And this is how Matt decided he wanted a fold after.
Yes.
This is scary.
No. Just no.
Particles in the camera viewfinder.
He says no, but let's wait until Apple makes a foldable iPhone.
No. Okay, so here I get into, God, what do they call their photos on here?
Gallery,
there it is. I see it now. Oh yeah, I'm looking at, oh, here's a 13 minute video.
I found a video. Whoa,
just a black screen.
No, oh my gosh, hold on.
Oh, holy shit,
someone filmed this. This is
no certain. That has to be somebody that downloaded, because look at this. Let me share my screen. Let's see.
Fake stock videos of people in data centers that people have downloaded.
Look at that.
Oh, hold on. I got to start this dream.
What the heck?
So it's a picture of guys with masks holding up. Oh, now it disappeared. Holding up, what happened to this?
Does it know that you're shadow? Oh.
Yeah, it went dead.
Someone downloaded a picture of just like guys.
These are just people downloading. History. There's just people downloading videos.
Go to the browsing history.
Oh no, I don't know.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. This is interesting, though. It's interesting to see what people are.
Oh no. It already had a tab open. Oh no. Oh my
god. Did they really?
It had a tab already open.
Of what we would expect it to be?
Yes.
Hold on. Let me... No. Do not share it.
Oh, that's all the history is. That is.
So what we should do is we should all get together for a Goopley meetup. We should go in and replace all the backgrounds on all the devices as the Goopley logo.
And see how
redirect the homepage to the Goopley homepage.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Gorilla marketing. I love it.
They into some weird stuff there, Tim.
Someone searched Bruce something, like an actor. I don't know.
Bruce Lee?
Bruce Lee. I think it was Bruce Lee. That was the only normal search. That was it. That was the one thing that was normal.
It's not normal if it's on that one website.
Everything else was just weird. Like, I mean,
explain further.
It was all porn. All it was. It was just a wall of URLs to just sketchy websites.
You think that there's in the data center who can hear what's going on the screen?
You can't call out on it. I just tried to call Roy
on it.
I guess.
I guess if you don't want them to track, like if you don't want Google to track what you're watching, you go into the virtual fold, and then you bring the porn up, and nobody can track that you're watching that.
They haven't bought it.
Oh my god, you guys! You guys know this has gotten way out of control.
Oh,
sorry, man. I even brought up this dumb website.
This is the future of virtual OS, Matt. We have to prepare.
I have to admit, this is kind of an interesting thing.
I have one question. Tim, what is the filthiest thing you found on a person's search engine?
I don't think I've ever seen anything like in your in line general. Oh, in... In gen, okay.
We're not sponsored. Don't worry about it. We're fine.
Okay. No. We don't. We're going in the wrong direction.
Okay.
Should we talk about this after the podcast?
Boo. Somebody, this is the Hangouts content.
Yeah. Somebody texted 911 from my Galaxy Fold 2. I don't know if we're logged. Are you logged into the Galaxy Fold?
I'm in one of the folds.
Yeah. Somebody called 911 from mine too.
No.
Someone just said bro. They texted bro to 911.
So what phone app can you download that'll work over Wi-Fi that won't require any...
You have to log into the Chrome store.
True.
And then it says it can't sign in because it doesn't have network connectivity. Like, really? I don't understand how you're supposed to download apps to try apps. You must have to be able to upload them.
I think so.
Oh yeah, you have to upload them to the cloud and then download them from there. You can't download them from the Play Store, it doesn't look like.
Weird.
I don't know. It's just, this is like a weird website. Like how
why would they do this?
I don't know.
I thought this was a great idea. We just have a server cabinet. Excuse me, we need to get 1,000 folds. Why? Well,
and they're all over. Like they're in Poland, Korea, India, Brazil, Vietnam, Russia, the UK, the USA. Like you can filter out what devices.
Yeah.
Oh, it's interesting. There's a what's the new tablet that they? It was a Galaxy. Was it the Galaxy Tab S8 Plus? Is that the new one? So. That's on here. Which is interesting, but it says all ongoing tests have ended. It doesn't let you get into it, so I don't know.
This is an interesting website, but I feel like this could be used for a lot of
inappropriate things.
Well, they have to keep a log of when you're logged in. I'm just surprised it doesn't wipe when you're done with it. Like,
yeah,
it's Samsung. They should be able to like automate that. Like, you know, you unlog out and it like maybe takes 5 minutes to do a quick factory image and then you're good to go. Like,
okay. So the other thing too about this is that this is all cloud based, but like I can do this all with Xcode and an iPhone on my Mac. You know, I feel like what they should do is create emulators that you could download, like, to try it. That way you could download it and do it on your, you know, do it on your computer. Because I can literally pull up Xcode and I can run my app in any iPhone, going back to like the iPhone 5, SE, I think, or 6, whatever the last supported devices are. But I can go in there and download it and download a version of iOS that runs on it and literally run my app to make sure that it runs in there. And, you know, not have any issues, because that's essentially what I do. Definitely.
I believe Android Studio has a similar thing for devices and like devices, but I don't think Samsung has something like that.
But Samsung could easily do something like that rather than setting up this like weird testing center in the cloud.
I found a video
from the company that brought you the Flip.
Someone recorded it. Basically, the phone is pointing out into the lab, so you can see the chairs where the employees are, but then whoever's working on the cabinet like picks it up and puts it back into the cabinet, and it's like facing the direction that you now see from the camera.
Oh.
So they were at one point maintaining this device, and then it happens to record like when they were actually working.
This sounds like a satellite problem where you need like an app or something like that, or some kind of code that goes through all of the devices taking pictures at like in sequence, and that just keeps logging in and logging out to all the different devices to see what's going on.
Tim, this could be your next reel on Instagram. Logging into the, telling people how to log into the Samsung developer.
I don't think I want to be associated with this.
Hell, I think your TikTok or your Instagram would go viral.
It was like it's so weird.
By the way, you haven't posted an Instagram in a while. I'm just saying.
I know. It's
a couple
quality
days, right?
Over quantity.
Quality. That's not how you get popular.
But I don't want to post. I don't know. I haven't really had anything to post, so I don't want to like force a post.
You should go into the data rack and find the CEO's computer network connection in his office, and you should be like, when the CEO pisses you off, and just unplug it and plug it back in.
How to lose your job in under 5 seconds?
Hell, they're not gonna know it's you.
Oh, we've got cameras, yo.
So we've learned tonight that Samsung has no security. Google, maybe a little bit of security. Apple, Mac security. I'm kidding. any final thoughts, guys?
No, this podcast went totally in the wrong direction that I thought it was going to go in.
In all fairness, we did say it was going to be a short podcast.
We did.
Jokingly. We just got through the topic really fast because there wasn't a whole lot to talk about on it.
There wasn't. You can thank the slow news feed for that.
So instead, we talked about Samsung remote labs.
Hey, it was a cloud operating system, right? I guess it fit with the title.
I'm surprised I even remembered this. I was like, because I saw this a couple days ago on TikTok. I'm like, this is dumb. Why would anyone do this? And then we're talking about this. Oh!
So glad you remembered it.
I'm deleting myself from this website. I'm deleting my Samson account right now. I don't want to be associated anything with this website.
Your Samson account? Your Samson?
My Samson account. Anyways. Okay. Any last final thoughts?
The notch is not good.
Thank you. I told you.
Hole punch for life. Hole punch boys.
No, don't worry about it. It's nothing, Tim.
The notch.
Don't listen to Joe. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
True.
Shots fired.
I'm a dummy. But well, the notch still sucks.
Stay tuned for the next podcast where we discuss notches, chins, foreheads, whatever else they're called these days. And as we all wait for that epic podcast, we want to give a big thank you to everyone here for joining us live on this episode of the GooplyCast. And a big thanks to you if you're listening to our podcast. Your support is incredibly encouraging, and we appreciate you spending some of your valuable time with us here in almost like a quarter of the way through 2022. Look for
Don't
a replacement.
Say that.
Hey, it's been good so far.
Stop.
Oh, I mean, it's been terrible. It's been terrible. We won't have any more replays on YouTube. There's not going to be any more podcast versions of our episodes on all of your favorite podcasting apps. Okay. iHeartRadio is down.
Wow. That sounds super depressing.
It's reverse psychology. We're going to psych the year out, and it's going to be fantastic. Okay. I mean, terrible.
Macklemore's got a new song out. Next year is going to be better than this year.
Matt Carter, I like the flow. Keep it up.
He's doomed us all. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, so that way you'll get notified when we go live with the show. You can join in, and also for when we share new tech-related content. I've been your host, Matt Carter. For Matt, Roy, Tim, Joseph, we appreciate you so much for watching and listening, and we'll catch you next time on the GooplyCast.
Later.
Thanks for listening to the GooplyCast. Don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast. Visit us on social media at Gooply. And remember, you can stream the GooplyCast on your favorite podcasting app or Gooply.com.